The purge in the federal government includes cybersecurity officials. Is that a problem? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, was created 2 years ago within the Department of Homeland Security to shield America's critical infrastructure from cyber attacks. Its mandate also includes election security, and lately, it's been debunking misinformation online, including false rumors of voter fraud that are being spread by President Trump. Last week, CISA's assistant director was pushed out, and there have been reports that Director Chris Krebs expects to be fired. So what does this all mean for, you know, the other critical infrastructure? Kim Zetter is a cybersecurity journalist and author. I asked her what else CISA works on.
They do a lot of work with industrial control systems. Most of our critical infrastructure is privately owned. So we're talking water treatment plants, the electric grid, chemical treatment plants. CISA also has sort of on-the-ground teams that will come out and do risk assessments of a network. And CISA also, you know, prior to the election, was working on getting sensors on election networks to sort of monitor malicious attacks that might be coming into those networks. That has been sort of DHS's mandate to try and bring those networks up to a more secure level.
So then what are the national security implications of turnover in the leadership of the agency?
First of all, it's just very disruptive, especially right now when there's already a lot of chaos and uncertainty and fear around the rising rate of COVID infections, and then also a lot of chaos around the election itself and the unsupported claims of voter fraud. So at a time when the government should have a united front in its response to the health crisis and also for a smooth and peaceful transition to a new administration, this, of course, creates unnecessary upheaval and vulnerability, particularly in the eyes of adversaries who might want to take advantage of it. But I should emphasize that even if a figurehead like Chris Krebs is removed, the people on the ground will continue to do that work. It's really just more of a political issue here now, and then also the perception from outside by adversaries.
I mean, it is really interesting that this agency ended up working on misinformation and disinformation, which would seem to brand disinformation as a national security threat, right?
Yes, it definitely is a concern when you've got this schism between, you know, the White House administration and even some top level DHS officials. And then you've got the schism with the people on the ground within CISA who are actually actively trying to fight the misinformation and secure networks. There's always a threat of someone coming in, being appointed, who sort of undoes some of that good work. I don't have big concerns about that. I think the people at DHS and at CISA in particular are good at their jobs in securing networks and in helping critical infrastructure, and I don't really see that changing.
Generally, it seems like cybersecurity has been a relatively bright spot, right, within the Trump DHS?
Definitely with credit to CISA. You know, the Trump administration has been at odds with the work that CISA has been trying to do with, you know, misinformation that they have put out. And so CISA has been battling that directly through a rumor control website. CISA director Chris Krebs has, you know, in his own personal Twitter account has been at odds with that. Yes, they've been a definite bright spot in terms of trying to get critical infrastructure more secure, trying to share information with the private sector about vulnerabilities, and especially with election officials.
Do you feel like this is an agency that will remain empowered under a Biden administration, just looking forward?
Yes, definitely. I mean, under the Obama administration, Obama's was the first administration that really made cybersecurity a top-level national security concern. And that got strengthened with the creation of CISA. Under the Trump administration, CISA was stood up by Congress as a standalone agency, signaling the importance of cybersecurity. And that won't change under Biden at all.
Kim Zetter is a cybersecurity journalist and author. Reuters reported last week that the White House had asked CISA to stop aggressively debunking election disinformation. And now for some related links. The Washington Post has a piece from last week about how the Biden administration is likely to make funding for election security a priority. Those efforts were consistently blocked over the last 4 years by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but the Post argues that auditable voting machines with paper trails might be more necessary and palatable to Republicans now that Trump has created so much doubt about voting systems. And, you know, I mean, election security experts have been calling for those measures for years, too, so win-win? That story has more reading about Biden's likely cybersecurity priorities. It's at marketplacetech.org, along with a pair of stories about how, evidently, a deadly pandemic is an opportunity that draws out the worst people in the world. First, malicious hackers who are attacking school districts, demanding ransom, and posting sensitive information about children online when they don't get it. So that's a special place in hell kind of story. And last week, Microsoft put up a blog post warning again about attacks on companies that are working on vaccines and treatments for COVID-19. The attacks appear to be coming from Russia and North Korea. The blog post called them unconscionable and said they should be condemned by all civilized society. The post also pointed to ransomware attacks on hospitals and healthcare companies. In September, a woman in Germany died at a hospital that was under cyber attack because her treatment was delayed. Officials say it's likely the first known death resulting from a ransomware attack. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.